Oh my God, when is this damn thing gonna start?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. I have the same name as the name of the show, just so you don't get confused. That's why I do that. Well, you know, we have a lot in common, you and I. Did you know that? Yeah. You know what links us together? It's our allergies. Yeah. You have allergies. I have allergies. It's not the human race that links us together, that bonds us. It's not... has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that we all have allergies. That's what makes us close. I have runny nose. You have a runny nose. I have itchy, watery eyes. You have itchy, watery eyes. I have a little tickle down my throat from the dripping of phlegm down my esophagus. You have the tickle in your throat. And the phlegm and the thing, the esophagus. We have all this in common. You sneeze. I sneeze. Me too. Yeah, I sneeze too. We have allergies in common. It's not the fact that we're all a part of the human race. That has nothing to do with it. It's the fact that we all have allergies. It's our bonding mechanism. It's how we relate to each other. Oh, I feel so close to you right now. Did you ever drink so much the day before? You get up the next morning and you put your shoes on and you get the strange feeling that your shoes are too tight? That's because you drank too much the day before. Your shoes aren't too tight. What are you talking about? Loosen up your laces, baby. I don't know what that meant. Well, the music that you're listening to, and I mention his name every once in a while because I should, it's Jason Shaw. He composes and performs the music that you hear on this program. Thank you, Jason. And the lovely and talented John Shanahan, comedy writer. He's the voice in the show, does the comedy commercials and all that stuff. And Nicole Reed, she's the British girl. She's the British girl that you hear at the beginning of the show, the opening announcement. And also... she books many of the national interviews that we do here in the program. And me, I'm nothing. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, that's enough. I'm going to get political for no more than 30 seconds, I swear. I am so embarrassed and disappointed in this country. I love this country, but my God. I didn't think that I would ever in my lifetime live in this country under a dictatorship, a state-run organization. The Trump state-run organization chooses an attorney general, William Barr, who kisses his ass. Oh my God, oh my God, I've got a liar in the White House and an ass kisser at the top of the justice system. Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, this is not good. I never thought that we'd have stuff in common with China, North Korea, and Russia in the form of how one governs by lying and manipulation and hiding facts. And oh my God, William Barr, the new attorney general chosen by Trump, who was kiss-ass to Trump, he just is. He appeared before the Senate subcommittee yesterday to explain why he made a conclusion from the Mueller report that doesn't seem to be the conclusion that the Mueller report really is if you read it. the Attorney General spun it. On top of it, as I said on yesterday's show, the Attorney General, William Barr, got a letter from Mueller, the Mueller investigation, saying, Attorney General Barr, you're misrepresenting the investigation. This is big, bad stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you're Republican or a Democrat, these people are fucking up your nation big time from inside out. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm very concerned and very disappointed because of what is right in front of my face that doesn't take interpretation. It's just right in front of me. Everything is so obvious these days between the tweets from the liar-in-chief and the attorney general's just evading questions yesterday at this hearing, pulling a Clinton on them. Are you investigating what you call spying? And the attorney general says, what's your definition of spying? What? That's like Clinton, you know, what's your definition of is? That is the biggest telltale thing in the world. I am so sick of privileged people getting away with everything they can get away with by hiding behind things and shields. I mean, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Anyway, that's not why I'm here. That's not why I'm here. It's not why I'm here. How are you today, by the way? You doing well? Just don't answer me because I can't hear you. There's no point. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's your turn. You do a show for me. Have you heard about the Pope? I mean, I know you know who he is. The Pope, man. The Pope around Easter time. I just found out about this. The Pope publicly says that around Easter, this is what you should give up for Lent. It's not meat. It's what the Pope wanted you to give up for Easter for Lent was gossiping. The Pope doesn't want you to gossip. That's what you're supposed to give up for Lent. What? What? What are you talking about? Are you serious? With all the stuff going on, like how about giving up throwing plastic into the oceans? How about giving up screwing up the environment? How about giving up terrorism and doing things to your fellow man simply because they're not like you? I mean, give up for don't gossip. I mean, what has everybody in this world gone crazy? Has everybody gone crazy? I am the Pope, and this is what I want you to do for Lent this year, and I'm very serious. Don't gossip. Don't gossip. That's not good. Don't say things about people behind their back. It's the ruination of mankind. What? What? Pope, is your hat on too tight? And I mean that out of great respect. But what are you talking about? Don't gossip. It's bad. Something must have happened in the Pope's past where gossip hurt him. I mean, how can you go a world crusade against gossip? Is this the biggest problem we have? It's not the fact that we won't have a planet to live on. It's gossiping, man. Why are you saying something about that lady? That's my impression of the Pope, by the way. Did you like that? I know. For a moment, if you close your eyes and you listen to me do my impersonation of the Pope, you will think you're really there. You will think, oh my God, is that the Pope speaking? Oh, it's just Ron. It's Ron doing his impression of the Pope. Wow, he's good, isn't he? How does he pull that off? Must have been years of study to get the Pope's speech pattern down to a science. He's incredible. Yeah, but at least he doesn't gossip. That's because that's the worst. Wow. By the way, speaking of gossip and lying, and I'm talking about Trump, it's about time that, you know, Trump goes around the schoolyard giving names, nicknames to people. Sleepy Joe Biden. No, No, you're sleepy, man. Actually, you don't sleep. Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary. Yeah, yeah. But not Crooked Trump? I don't know, Don. Lion Don. That's what has got to be attached to this man. Lion Don. If we're going to start calling people's, you know, I don't think the Pope would like that. I don't think the Pope would like people calling names. That should have been it, Pope. That should have been it. For this year, for Lent, I want you to stop calling people names. That I could have bought. That I could have bought. No bullying. No lying. Your Lent thing is to be honest and to be nice to each other. That would have worked, Pope. Not the... But don't gossip, my God. Don't go get your hair cut or anything. Or don't get your hair styled, because those hairdressers, all they do is gossip. Hey, did you hear about Martha who came in last week? She's her children are don't wipe their feet before they come into the house, and everybody in the neighborhood knows that they don't wipe their feet. And Martha, I tell you, so she colors her hair. I color her hair. She's not really blonde. I don't know if you know that or not, but she's not really blonde. She's really a brunette. I know it's shocking, isn't it? But I'm gossiping to you because I think you should know and tell everybody that she's not really blonde and her children do not wipe their feet when they come into the house. Yes, tell everybody, and I want to hear it all over the land. Don't gossip. That's horrible. Don't go to the hairdresser, because that's horrible, too. That's where the gossip starts. I know. It is incredible. I should do a world tour impersonating the Pope. I know. It's uncanny. It has no can. What does that mean, uncanny, by the way? I don't understand what that means. I mean, can you do it? I can. Can you not do it? No, I canny. I don't know what that means. It's not canny. It's uncanny. I only know the phrase, it's uncanny. It cannot be canny. It's uncanny. But I've never heard anybody say, you know, that's really canny. I don't know what that means. <It's> just... Do you want some soup? I guess that's canny. You can put that in a can. Do you want some mushrooms? That's canny. That'll be canny. Do you want a cat? That's uncanny. You can't put a cat in a can. That's uncanny to ask me if I want a cat. I guess that's what it means. I really don't know. I don't know what a lot of phrases mean. I really don't. It's half a dozen of one, six of another, 72 of gross. It's gross. It's 144. I mean, I get that. I kind of understand that. I don't know why you waste your time saying something like that, but, you know, instead of saying, oh, it's a half a dozen of one, 12 a dozen of another, 12 dozen of something else, why don't you just say, well, it's the same thing. How about that? Isn't that a lot smarter and easier? You know, I don't know whether to buy a house or buy a boat. Well, it's the same thing. That's so much simpler than saying, well, it's half a dozen of eggs, when a half a dozen, maybe a dozen of another one, maybe a half a dozen, or maybe six, maybe how about six? So it's six or it's half a dozen, which is, hey, it's the same thing. Just say it's the same thing. It's uncanny. You can't put eggs in a can. They don't sell eggs in a can, do they? Ooh, no, they don't. Do they? I don't know. It's uncanny, I think. Do you ever waste so much time in your life other than listen to this show? But don't gossip. My God, don't gossip. That's the worst thing ever. You cannot be lower than scum. If you gossip, you can't be any lower than scum. Scum would be the lowest. You would be even lower than that if you gossip. Don't ever talk about somebody else when they're not there. Especially me. Don't say, oh, that Pope, boy, he doesn't shut up. Don't say that about me unless you're saying it to my face and my hat at the same time. Don't say it. Does the Pope sleep with his hat on? I'm not sure. I don't know. It's uncanny. He can't put his hat in a can. It's way too big. Whew, wow. I have a very interesting guest coming up today. It's a little bit of an extended interview. Not that much, but a little bit. He's a gentleman that wrote a book about the planet. Did you know that the planet is falling apart? It's uncanny. It's true. We're not taking care of the planet. You know what the culprit is? The plastic bags. And I'm not being sarcastic about that. It's plastic bags. You don't understand how bad plastic bags... You can't recycle them. They get into the ocean, into the waterways. The wildlife gets choked by it. It's horrible. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you about this. Plastic bags are horrible. We are just so stupid. See, here's the bottom line. This is why we're all so stupid. Well, you are, not me. This is why there's stupidity, and it's very similar to the whole Trump thing. We do everything in our lives, whether we realize it or not, for convenience and our own satisfaction, not ever thinking about our environment and the long-run situation. Yeah, put my groceries in a plastic bag. Yeah, but aren't we killing? I don't care. Put it in a bag. Put it in a plastic bag. Yeah, I'll just throw this Dunkin' Donuts styrofoam cup out the window. I don't need it anymore. Not everybody's doing it. What's one cup going to do? Is it going to kill the environment? Yes, it will. Yeah, let's, this Trump guy, yeah, okay, you know, the economy's really good. He's the biggest asshole. He's a douchebag. He's stupid. He's a dictator. He's a power-hungry, Me Too kind of guy. And I'm not talking about Me Too women. I'm talking about Me Too Trump. He's a misogynist. He goes to bed with hookers while his wife is pregnant. I mean, I just, you know, he pays off people. He pays off, when he gets in trouble, he just pays money and walks away. He's a misogynistic asshole, but the economy's good, so let's keep him in. I mean, it's just, what's wrong with us? Why do we not look a little beyond our own selfish laziness? That's what you should be talking about, Mr. Pope. Francis, I think you are. I call you Mr. Pope out of respect. I don't know if that's your real name, but I think you, Mr. Pope, is proper. I think I've told you this story before. I have a real problem with authority. I respect it, but I have a problem respecting it. I've done jury duty a few times. My God, I hate it. And when you're sent up to a courtroom to be considered to be a juror, you're sitting there, and then the bailiff says, all rise, the Honorable James Worthy coming into the courtroom. And you're supposed to stand up and respect the fact that this guy's got a robe on. You're just like me. You're a human being. You have allergies. Why am I standing up for you? Why don't you stand up for me? Do you know who I am? Here comes juror Ron Van Dam. He's been in radio forever. People actually listen to him, believe it or not. Stand up for him as the juror enters the room. Why don't you do that? Why do I have to stand up? Because some guy's got a robe on and went through law school. I don't get it. Why is that a revered person? Why must I stand up for anybody? It's odd to me. It's very, very militaristically bizarre to me. I didn't think in this country that you had to do that kind of stuff, but I guess you do. And what if you don't stand up? They'll actually, they'll penalize you. They'll fine you. They'll find you in contempt of court. Contempt of court, you're the one that asked me to come in here. I didn't do anything wrong. Now you're asking me to stand? What? I'm sorry, you got the wrong guy. We all know I'm not going to sit on any jury because I won't do it. So I don't know why you even bothered calling me down here. Why didn't you ask me ahead of time? When you send me that little jury card in the mail, you've been selected for jury duty. Why can't I just send the card back saying, I don't think so, and then we're done? Why do we go through this whole process when you're not going to choose me anyway? Because I'm obviously can't be tamed. What a waste of time. What a waste of gas money. All right, let's speak to our guest about the planet, but not in the way that you think. Say hello. Murray Rosenthal joins us now. He is an author, and wow, this is pretty cool. This is called The Exigent Earth. Tell me what this is about.
Well, Ron, for eons, you know, people have taught by telling stories. Yes. And this is, I hope, a book that people will find interesting because it's not a preachy book. It's a story that also teaches, and it's about Earth as a system and somebody that sort of stumbles onto the consciousness of Earth and then is pursued as an individual who's causing the disasters we see, not reporting on them. That's the short, skinny version.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that there's such a discussion and ring of truth about the condition of the planet, that makes it kind of a little bit more involving, doesn't it?
Well, I've been blessed in that I've had a chance to travel extensively. My wife and I just came back from Bhutan, mm-hmm. and up to about 3-4 years ago, we were sailing, and we're able to sail 2/3 of the way around the Earth. And over a 4-year period, we saw the changes firsthand, yeah. And it was quite distressing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And if more people could see it firsthand, then I think there'd be a different attitude probably going on, I assume, and I hope. Anyway, why was this created? Was it an idea that came into your mind, or was the stage set because of the condition of the planet?
Well, as they say, all of the above. Mm-hmm. I'm a physician by training, uh-huh. and a number of years ago, it actually came to me in a dream. And I know that sounds a little existential,
not really,
or philosophical, but the truth is that's how it happened. And it kept recurring, and I kept working on it. And then I put it aside for really a number of years. And when we started sailing and we saw the changes over 4 years even, of trash floating in the open ocean, yes. of longliners raping the ocean, miles of boats out there scooping up fish with their transponders and lights off so they couldn't be detected, it just was overwhelming at points. Mm-hmm. And we have a trailer actually on our website, it's just exigentearth.com, that summarizes the book and gives some other information about my co-author Beverly and myself. Mm-hmm. And I hope people will find it interesting.
Now, how did Beverly get involved?
Well, I am not a fiction writer. Mm-hmm. I've been working on a story for a number of years, mm-hmm. and I got it up to a certain point where people would read it and say, gosh, that's really an interesting story, but you should develop the characters. Well, I've co-authored a book, a science book. I've written a number of scientific articles, but I've never written fiction, and that's a separate beast. Hmm. And Beverly has written a couple of books, and she's a dear friend of the family that grew up with my wife. And my wife said to me, enough already talking about the story. I want you to call Beverly. Hmm. So, yeah. So we got together and collaborated.
Interesting. You're a psychiatrist. That's where your training is. And I find that fascinating because you delve into people's minds more than most. And let me ask you, in general, do you find that the not only the political arena, but the condition of the planet, do you find that is, in general, heightening people's nervousness and anxieties?
There are now psychologists and psychiatrists really studying the impact, the psychological impact of what's happening with climate change. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of, for example, a number of years ago, not too long ago, in Australia, farmers were committing suicide because of the loss of their land and wow. the drought situation. Climate has a dramatic effect. You know, we come from this planet. All of our physiology is tied to the planet. We talk about lunacy, the impact of the moon and phases affecting us. It's not too far-fetched. So, yes, we're tied dramatically to this Earth.
Yes, and then now we're tied politically to it because in this country, people aren't feeling like there's any support behind them in order to come to any resolve, and not necessarily that you can resolve to any great extent, but at the same time, the effort would make one more comfortable. But even that is nil.
Well, there is the whole question of what difference can I make?
Yes.
And people, when you talk about the psychology of climate change, it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about having put projects off in your own home where you, if you did them every day, you could have handled them.
Yes.
But all of a sudden you turn around and you go, oh my God, you know, this is overwhelming. Well, one person can make a difference and we should all be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, the saying went that you think globally and act locally.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that all of us can make a difference, politics aside, because politicians will come and go.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally a blip on the earth. And Exigent Earth tries to inform people about one person's journey, and it gives you information as you follow that person through their life,
mm-hmm.
and their twists and turns. But it really comes down to, at the end of the book, we all have a choice to make.
Yeah.
This book does not have a Hollywood happy, tidy ending.
Mm.
The book leaves you with the thinking of, gee whiz, where do we go next? Mm. And that's exactly the feeling I want people to have.
Is there any sex in it?
No. Sorry. You know, you can't have everything.
Not until we clean up the earth, no.
I wanted teens to be able to read this.
No, so I agree.
It's G-rated. And you know, maybe the next one. You've actually given me an idea.
Well, you know, if you want, some other kinds of people might read it.
Yeah, exactly. You're a funny guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a great concept because, as we know, Al Gore went through the motion picture route. And
right.
And there are documentaries, and every time we see a documentary, it's always included that this is not the way it is anymore because of what's going on. So it's all in there, but this is a different approach. Here it's a fictional piece with, you know, with science fiction, but I think that draws people more into it with that scenario. So it's a clever idea.
Thanks, Ron. And I can tell you, Exigent Earth, the science in it, we've actually researched. So mm-hmm. some of it is an extrapolation, no doubt. But the concept of the Earth being a system has been around for a long time. The whole mm-hmm. discussion of Gaia, you know.
Yeah.
But all systems, every system, whether it's your internal physiology, a social system, a country, mm-hmm. A planet, all systems struggle to maintain balance. And this really says what happens when you take a system and you perturb it and throw it out of balance.
Yeah.
Well, all systems struggle to maintain that balance. And that's really what Exigent Earth is about, mm-hmm. is how the Earth is struggling, not to fight mankind, but to maintain its own balance.
Yeah. I read that you manage a farm in Fiji. How did that come to pass?
Well, the short version is many years ago, my mother died in my arms, mm-hmm. and I needed a place to heal.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine who had been around the world a few times said, go to Fiji. It's a great place to heal your heart and soul.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with the country, and we have 1,200 acres of pristine land.
Wow.
That we're going to keep that way with water that comes out of an aquifer from a volcano that's right next door. Dormant, by the way, thank God. But we have rich volcanic soil, and we're growing fruits and vegetables and working with the local villages.
Wow. See, that's where one would get an appreciation for the land. And, you know, there was a time in our history when most people did have appreciation for the land because they existed off of it. And we still do, but not in a personal way. That makes
that's
a very big difference. Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I'm glad you did that.
Let me, if I may, if we have time, I'll tell you a quick story. So
sure.
2 years ago, Janet and I were in Africa for about 7 weeks,
uh-huh.
and we did a walk with the Maasai.
Yeah.
And our leader was a tall, beautiful Maasai warrior, Gabriel. And the second or third day out, he bends down and picks up a dung beetle out of a dung heap.
Mm-hmm.
and over the next hour explains how that beetle is responsible for all the ecology around us. I said to him, Gabriel, in my country, people think chickens come in parts in grocery stores. Mm-hmm. Very few people, you know anything about how things interact. Mm-hmm. And I said, you've just given me a discussion like a PhD in environmental science. I said, this is very cool.
Yeah.
And people that have grown up on the land and know the land respect it.
Well, the book is called The Exigent Earth. It's available everywhere at this point, I assume. How long has it been out?
It's been out about 2 or 3 months. It's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I've just seen it recently on eBay. And, of course, we have the website if you want to check out a trailer.
Please.
And that's just Exigent Earth without the V, exigentearth.com.
Okay, I'm going to spell exigent for because this is radio, you know. it's E-X-I-G-E-N-T. The mm-hmm. Exigent Earth, and you'll find that all over your web thing. And, they can follow you and see what you're up to and hear your comments and get the book and get some background information.
Thanks,
and see the video.
Yep.
Very cool. Hey, it's great speaking to you. Thank you. I like what you do, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Great.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care.
Be well.
Bye. All right. Thank you so much for being here today. You're really, really very tolerant. You're very tolerant of things. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you'll join me then. By that time, you probably will have had something to eat, gone to the bathroom, gotten some sleep, be in a better mood, you know what I'm saying? But until then, I wish you peace. Please. I wish you peace. And my God, don't gossip. Please don't do that.